This week's sponsor is Potterless. Do you know who Harry is, but you just don't even really care about what a Dobby is? Then you're perfect for Potterless, the website for people who kinda just enjoy Harry Potter once in a while. No quizzes or houses or intricate histories, just the basic info shared among fans every couple of months. This month, check out our paragraph on The Cursed Child, some new book or something. Potterless, for the fans who just want less.
You make me want to slam my head against the wall. You make me do the limbo. You make me want to buy a Slurpee at the mall. You make me watch the Gong Show.
Really, welcome back, and we're all Yankovics.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
I don't know. Change it up a little bit.
Okay. Well, I know why you're doing that.
You do?
Yeah, you make me.
I make you what?
Sing,
I did it.
This song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. From Even Worse, it's from 1988, and this is a very much a style parody of Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo. Yes.
Yeah, and we have a lot to talk about with Oingo Boingo.
There's an awful lot there.
There is a
lot. Surprisingly, who would have guessed in 1980, I don't know, six, I'll go with, that this band would be so significant?
Well, and it actually started with his brother. Several years earlier.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going
to
talk about the whole story and stuff.
Yeah, but the history.
Yeah, this song, actually, a couple of weeks ago, you talked about how you almost put You Make Me on your list of top five love songs.
Almost.
Yeah. Weird Al in his Ask Al, as or not his Ask Al, his in the permanent record box set, the liner notes says that Al says this might be the closest thing to a love song he's ever written.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah. Because it actually is positive.
It really is. There's like not a whole lot of like, yeah,
like he gets a little violent. There's a little violence with the bagels to the face and the pitchfork.
Yeah, but that's not really, that's,
but
yeah,
but there's nothing more than that.
It's
not
weird.
Like, you make me want to kill my mother.
Yeah.
And
oh, hey, none of that.
Face,
no,
like that.
Why,
like,
would he do that?
Like, exactly. Like,
exactly.
And that's the thing is, if it followed some of his other love songs,
yes, it would have gone
love songs.
It would have gone tragic.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, yeah, I agree. This is one of those songs. Like, it's just, it's really weird. But it's a weird, good way of explaining how crazy love makes you feel, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm like so in love with you. You make me want to just do all these crazy things just for you. Like, I'll jump off the Eiffel Tower made of waffles, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. To me though, this song also feels a lot like I think I get this song and Dare to Be Stupid a little bit mixed up, because
okay,
they both seem to be this like list of really weird things.
And they both parody the same genre.
Well, and that's not helping either. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Dare to Be Stupid is a little bit more specific things that you're told not to do.
Right.
Whereas this is just a lot of just really random things. Like, I would really be interested to find out where he came up with all these ideas.
He's just weird.
Well, exactly. But like I don't get the thread.
I don't think there is any.
Oh, and that's the question. Is it? But think about it. Think how insane it is to try to come up with these lyrics if you've got no thread. Because it means,
It's freeform improv. Just, like, say the first thing that comes to your mind and write it down. Like, you make me want to... He probably had someone bouncing off of him, like, you make me want to... And pointed at him, and he just said the first crazy thing that
and
came out of his head.
Down.
Exactly. That's what it sounds like. And then, okay, now rhyme something with that, okay?
No. Sort of like the way Bare Naked Ladies came up with their 1 week song, apparently.
Exactly. I really could see him doing that, just like...
Rap something. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Exactly.
That's that song.
I think it's probably something as, like, basic as that. Like, just, like... random stuff that's crazy and weird. There you go.
Oh, I want to play this game. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to point at you.
Sure.
It's only going to be this direction.
Okay.
I'm going to point.
Only me?
Yes.
You're not going to do it?
No.
Oh, you're no fun.
Okay. You make me
eat French fries while swimming.
Okay. And then rhyme with it. You make me
worry about buying lottery tickets without winning.
Yay! Okay.
I don't know. Go buy lottery tickets and
without winning.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It didn't flow very well, but swimming is hard to rhyme with.
That's your own fault.
I didn't know. I didn't set up the rules. I just thought the first part. I didn't think the rhyming it part. I'm not as good as a Weird Al.
Oh. No, you aren't.
Oh, well.
Okay. Let's see. The song, do you remember it? I mean, like...
Oh, yeah. Very much
this
so.
This gets played a little bit. I remember the song.
But
I don't know if I just remember it because it's Oingo Boingo.
Right.
Like, maybe
were you into Oingo Boingo?
Not into it. I mean, okay. Like, I was a little young for Oingo Boingo, yeah. actually, but like, I loved Weird Science.
And, yeah.
And their songs. So, and it sounds close enough to that. I mean, we'll talk about that, right?
Yeah. Like, I forgot that was Oingo Boingo. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Weird Science.
I'm going to admit Dead something. I never saw the movie.
Oh.
But I know the song. I was like, oh, yeah, that is Oingo Boingo. I know. My wife said the same thing recently, watching the season premiere of the Goldbergs. I was like, I've never seen that.
Kelly LeBrock, man.
I know. It's one of the classics I've just never gotten around to. I've seen parts of it, but I never watched the whole thing.
Oh, it's good. It's really good.
But yeah, the song, it is Oingo Boingo.
Okay. Yeah, that's Dead Man's Party. Yeah. I mean, like, and those are the, they've got a weird history, which we'll talk about in a moment. But so I don't know if it's just like, it sounds so much like them that I'm just like, oh yeah, I've totally heard that weird noise before.
Right?
But it's like, yeah, because that was a weird noise he used, the Oingo Boingo used.
I think the thing that hurts the song for me is the genre that he's doing. In my opinion, there's at least two other songs that are in the genre that he's done that he did better. Like Dare to be Stupid and I think Mr. Popeil are both the same type of new wave, kind of alt-punk kind of...
Well, I feel that way with Brady Bunch, too.
Like, Brady Bunch, that was in there, too. I don't think that was better, but this... I think...
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, I think Mr. Popeil, and especially Dare to be Stupid, which was one of the most perfect style parodies he's ever done, this is in the same genre. It's good. It's a good Oingo Boingo parody, but the song itself isn't as strong, and that's what kind of thing that hurts me. Just comparing it to the other ones that are in the same genre, this is a good Oingo Boingo style parody,
yeah.
But some of his other style parodies around the same time are so much better.
I think musically it's great. I think lyrically, like you said, it's missing something, and I think the thing it's missing is the through line.
The
focus or something, like, because the other ones are directly making fun of something specific on top of the genre. Yeah. And so they're pointing to something, whereas this one is just, it's sort of up in the air and it's just loose and you don't know what's going on.
Okay. Well, I mean, then again, Oingo Boingo is kind of like that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
My older brother was a huge fan of Oingo Boingo and Devo and B-52. So I listened to these songs a lot when I was younger than when this song came out. So like, I knew Oingo Boingo when it came out and I was like, oh, that's cool. It's good. The same thing with Devo and all that. I'm just like, oh, look at my brother though. He loved this song. He's like, oh my gosh, it's perfect. So
that's awesome. They use a lot of like the weird percussion noises and the oohs and it's very Oingo Boingo. It's hard to point to a specific song though, because I think it's a little deeper cut than I think their popular songs might be a little bit farther out of their genre kind of.
Yes,
and so it's a little mainstream. Hard to point to like specific of the mainstream songs. Uh-huh. I think you might have to go a little bit deeper. So I haven't been able to I'm not that versed in Oingo Boingo to figure that out, but I think it is. Yeah. So you have an older brother?
I do.
So there's somebody who's actually older than you.
There's two. I have two older brothers.
Wow.
Yeah, but one of them was into the new wave. The other one was into classic rock. So I got both of those influences growing up. Then my older sister was into more poppy stuff. So like I listened to all their music. That's why my musical tastes are so varied. Yeah. I had like my three siblings had three different tastes in music, and I listened to all of them. Mm-hmm. So I was into this kind of stuff. You know, my next older brother up was the one who was into the new wave and Devo and Oingo Boingo and stuff. And, kind of Weird Al as well.
Speaking of old people.
Oh.
Let's call Orson in, and then I'm going to talk about Oingo Boingo for a little bit while it takes him, because it takes him a while to come in.
Sure.
You know, and then we'll get Orson to explain some of these things that you might not understand references from.
Hey, Orson, get in here.
Come on, man.
Orson.
Get in here.
Huh? He's coming.
We got your teeth.
Oh, that got him going. All right. He'll be here in a couple minutes.
Oingo Boingo.
Yes.
Started out as the Mystic Knights of Oingo Boingo.
Oh, okay.
It was a performance art kind of group. And it was actually started by one of the main people who started it was Richard Elfman.
Richard Elfman, yes.
Richard Elfman. Okay. Like you, the older brother of Danny Elfman.
You may have heard of him.
Yes, exactly. After Danny Elfman, after Richard Elfman came in, and then Danny came back, apparently he was studying like percussion in Africa or something, which makes sense because there's a lot of those noises are technically percussion instruments because you're banging something, even though it might not even be an actual instrument.
Yeah.
Sort of they do performance for 5 years or so, and then they start, lots of weird stuff that's not, I mean, like it's almost parody-ish. Kind of, not parody, but like it's almost comedy. Like it's an almost comedic thing.
Right.
And then they start doing, that dies down and they become more of a group, more of a pop group kind of. Yeah. And they work their way. And that's actually headed a lot by Danny Elfman.
Right.
When they are the Mystic Knights, however, they do release a single and the A-side is a doo-wop song called You Got Your Baby Back. which is about Patty Hearst.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Nice. And then on the other side is The Ballad of the Caveman.
Okay.
And so they're both kind of, yeah, weird and wacky. They also, apparently Richard made a movie called Forbidden Zone, I think, about the group or something.
Okay.
Very strange. But then when he kind of fades away and Danny takes over the group, they get their popular songs, Weird Science and Dead Man's Party, which are the ones everybody knows. And then Danny goes on. I mean, like, if you don't know Danny Elfman, you don't know anything.
You don't know anything.
He wrote the theme to The Simpsons. He worked on the soundtrack for Pee-wee's
Big Adventure. Beetlejuice.
He also is Jack Skeleton's singing voice.
Yeah.
He works with Danny Elfman. I mean, he is Danny Elfman.
Yeah, he is.
He works with...
I can't think of his name right now either.
Oh, yeah, that guy. yeah.
Why can't we not think of his name? Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Yes, and Johnny Depp too.
Yeah, there's only like three movies that that Tim Burton's done that he hasn't written.
I didn't know there were that many.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, one of those is like,
very popular.
Not the Barber of Seville. The other one, the Barber, Demon of Fleet Street.
Yeah.
Whatever
that's
his
the
name
Barber
is.
DeVille. Yeah.
No.
Seville.
Different person.
Seville.
That's a different thing.
Oh, okay.
Demon of Fleet Street. What's his name?
I don't think he's Jack the Ripper.
No, it's not. Anyways, that movie is based on a musical, so obviously Danny Elfman didn't write that musical.
Okay.
But that's one of three, and then the one is the most recent one, and then the other one was one that was being made when like they were having a small argument or something.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't on that. But for the most part, it's Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
I believe he was even tapped to do the new Justice League movie, some of the soundtracks for that earlier this year. So
yeah, he's done like pretty much... The thing that's funny with me, like, pretty much everything that he hasn't done, Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo has done. Anyway. So, like, those two rivals in the 80s have become, like, the most prolific, like, movie soundtrack people ever.
Yeah.
And, they do probably, like, 50% of the movies and soundtracks out there for TV shows and cartoons and whatnot.
Yeah, not quite as... where's Orson?
He's almost here.
Okay. Not as prolific as them, but it's also sort of like, now, They Might Be Giants has done a lot of, like, theme songs and soundtracks. And they had a whole Dunkin' Donuts campaign that didn't go anywhere, but they were hired for it.
Sure.
So, it's not one of those things where a lot of people were like, ooh, these cool, weird alt... performers can do all these cool things, and I liked their music as a kid, so now I'm gonna hire them to do these movie soundtracks.
It's crazy.
Like that, so
but I thought that was always interesting that those two just came out of the same type of music and are just like all the soundtracks you find one of them on.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. That in you know, John Williams' alt band that he had.
Yeah,
in the
John Williams
60s.
He does the other like 45%
that actually makes me I bet you he was part of some kind of weird band when he was
probably was.
I need to find that information. That would be awesome.
There you go, come on over here.
Hey, put in your teeth. Very good.
I gotta go talk to his nurse.
Okay.
Hey, what are you talking about, Chuck?
Hey, welcome back. It's been a while, we haven't seen you. How's your roommate?
Who?
The other old guy.
What?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Oh, great. This is going to be wonderful.
Oh,
Hey, try to remember back to the 80s for me.
Oh, I remember my 80s.
Yes, your 80s. Thank you. How about the 1980s?
Oh, yeah. I was in my 80s.
No, in the 1980s?
Yep.
Wow.
So my 80s were the 80s.
Okay.
I remember.
So you're 111?
Something like that.
Okay. We have a song that was created in the 80s that we need. There's a couple of media references that we need to get from you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, first up... You make me want to watch The Gong Show.
Go right ahead.
What's The Gong Show?
Why do you want to watch it if you don't know what it is?
I don't. It's in the lyrics.
What lyrics?
These lyrics.
Oh, the lyrics.
The lyrics.
I thought you wanted to go watch TV in the middle of an interview.
No.
Okay.
Although.
You darn kids.
Yeah.
Gong Show. Yes, that was a show in the 1970s where untalented people would come on and do stupid stuff. And some celebrities would watch them. And if they couldn't watch them any longer, they hit a big gong, and they were executed.
Oh, really?
Not the celebrities, no.
Oh, okay,
The people.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Yeah, just the normal people.
Yeah, I mean, they would hit a gong, and they were dragged off stage. You'd never see them again.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yep, I assume they were executed. They never talked about that part of it.
They never talked about
it. But you never saw them again. Okay. And then if you didn't get gonged, you didn't. I don't even know if they gave you any money or anything. You just didn't get gonged.
You didn't get gonged.
And then they picked the winner of the show, and that was the guy who didn't get gonged, and then they never were seen again.
Do they put that on album covers then? Hey, this is Wavy Gravy.
Yes.
We didn't get gonged.
That's right. Okay. You may remember him from the September 20th episode of Gong Show.
That's what we're talking
with,
about.
Bob Barker, Chuck Willery, or someone like that. I don't know.
Both of them?
Both of them together.
That's neat.
I can't remember the guy's name, but he had weird hair.
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyways, that's what the Gong Show was.
Okay. We got another reference here. You make me want to phone home. For some reason, that's...
Go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks. No. What's that a reference to?
Oh, phones.
Yes.
People used to have a phone on their wall, and it had a cord on it, and you couldn't take it into the next room.
Okay.
So if you wanted to phone home, you had to tell everyone to be quiet and leave the room.
But if your phone was at home, why would you be phoning home?
Maybe you forgot your cell phone.
In the 80s?
I was in my 80s. Okay. Oh, I remember. There was this movie about this weird alien guy. E.T. And he had to phone home. And he had to build a phone out of a speaking spell.
Ooh, why did he have to phone home?
Because he was stuck on another planet, you idiot.
Okay.
So he had to... Can you imagine the roaming charges on that one?
I know.
Good thing they had good connection back then.
That's good.
So he built a satellite and he had a speaking spell. You remember what a speaking spell was?
I actually have one still.
Okay.
Yep. Dog remembers.
That's my service dog.
Oh, that's nice.
Quiet now, Orson Jr.
Okay. The one more.
Okay.
When I'm with you, I don't know whether I should study neurosurgery or go and see the Care Bears movie.
Go ahead and see the Care Bears movie. You're kind of dull.
Oh, thanks.
I don't think you'd get neurosurgery.
Okay.
You don't seem like the brainy type to me.
I'm not.
See the Care Bears movie. Oh, okay. Oh, you remember what those were?
No.
Care Bears. They were these little evil bears that you'd keep on your shelf in your room. Little girls would, and it would ward off evil with their weird-shaped tummies. Like they'd have
Their tummies were weird-shaped?
They had one. It was round, I mean, but they had tattoos on them.
They had tattoos.
Yep, one was like a rainbow. It would keep, leprechauns away.
Okay.
And then they had one with a storm cloud, and it would keep hurricanes away.
Okay.
And there was one with sunshine. It would keep sun cancer away.
No.
And the girls keep them on their shelves and they would pray to them, please keep the cancer and the leprechauns out of my room, Care Bears. And they would, and then they made a movie and they'd stare at you. The entire movie, they were just staring at you.
I've heard about that.
The Care Bear stare.
Yeah.
2 hours of these creepy bears with tattooed stomachs staring at you, daring you to pray to them.
Okay.
The church didn't like it at all.
No wonder I
they
don't remember this.
They burned down several theaters in my neighborhood.
I feel like I've had these memories removed by my parents.
That happens. Because
apparently I was a cultist or something at one point.
Yeah, you probably went to one of them schools
up
north.
Yeah,
they did that.
Northern
schools. But I got to go. My service dog has to poop.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. That's me. Sorry about that.
We'll get that cleaned up. Thank you, Orson. And we always love when you drop by. Can you send Steve back in?
Hey, get back in there.
Yeah, no, Orson, I could have yelled at him if I wanted
to. Why didn't you? Lazy.
Leave, Orson.
What?
Go.
Go where?
No, I think you just did.
I already went. Sorry about that.
Goodbye, Orson.
Wow, he smells funny. Okay, what did you guys talk about? I was talking to his nurse. He's 111 years old. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that. That's
wow.
Cool.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Impressive, actually.
It is.
I wonder what the oldest person on live right now is. It's got to be like 120 or something.
Something like that.
Oh, a couple of years, he's got it.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of this podcast.
Probably.
He's the oldest person in the world.
We may have to call his friend in.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember his friend's name anymore.
I don't remember either.
Okay. Talked about some fun stuff. The best thing that we talked about, actually, was the Gong Show.
Yeah, Chuck Barris. I remember him.
Yes, that guy.
That was the host.
That's good. Good to know that now.
Yeah.
Did you know that the Mystic Knights of Oingo Boingo were on the Gong Show?
Shut up!
Yeah, exactly. I watched it earlier today.
So that's probably why he referenced that.
That's what I'm saying. That's that thing. Like, I watched that because I was researching Oingo Boingo, and then I looked at the lyrics again after researching, and I was like, wait a minute! So that's the only through thread.
That's kind
of
cool.
Now, the question is, do you think he's related to any of these other things? But he's not. Like, you know, if they had been like Weird Science or Matthew Broderick or whatever. Like,
maybe he built a model of Eiffel Tower Belgian waffles for his like ninth grade science fair.
Now, see, if it was Mark Mothersby, I could see that being done by Mother's Ball.
Yeah.
I could see that being done by the Rugrats or something.
Yes.
And then, like, it would be like, oh, it's a reference to his work. Like,
yeah.
that would add to this song. But no, you wouldn't
at
be
least
able to
there's
do
one
that.
Thing.
Yeah. Well, but it wouldn't make any sense unless you did it now. And that's the thing, is like it was too contemporary for him to have like the history that he did.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, now we have a bunch of like movies.
So I want to talk about this. They were on the Gong Show.
They
did not get gonged.
That's good.
Yeah.
So they weren't executed.
No, they were not executed.
I heard that part. Like, what? Is he talking about killing people? Anyways.
So, you know, Orson always talking about killing people.
Yeah.
He lived through two world wars. Did you know that?
Only two?
Yeah, well, give him a couple of years. it was kind of cool. It started out with these three people, this lovely lady behind an accordion, and then a piano and a drummer. And they're like, we're going to play this classical piece. And so they're about to do it. And then instantly, this like purple dragon and a guy in a spaceship, which actually had like a little bit of like it must have been like, not steam,
dry
but
ice,
like, it might have been, must have been like a fire extinguisher or something. Okay. And then like these like 10 guys in blue dressed with like hands on their head, like mohawks. Yeah.
Okay.
Jump in. She screams. And then they played the song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
And they're dancing around and they're being strange and very weird. It's very awkward.
Good.
But some interesting things. The celebrity guests that day, the judges, Buddy Hackett.
Okay.
Sherry Lewis.
Uh-huh. And Lamb Chop.
Yeah, no, not Lamb Chop.
Nope, Lamb Chop wasn't there.
Lamb Chop wasn't there. Yeah, it was very strange. Wow. And Bill Bixby.
Bill Bixby. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
He's the non-incredible part of the Incredible Hulk.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't think that was his name. Okay.
I think that's what his name is.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it was kind
interesting.
It was interesting. Both Bill and Buddy, of course, made reference to the one female in the entire group.
I'm sure.
It's like, oh, like 40 years later, you're just like
cringeworthy.
Dude, like,
yeah.
Yeah, like Bill's like, I gave the group 0. But I gave the girl 1. So I guess that's a 10. Because they get rated 1 through 10.
Gotcha.
They ended up with, I believe, a 24 out of 10. And so they ended...
Out of 10?
Yeah. 24
great.
Out of 30.
Okay.
And ended up winning the whole show.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So it was neat. It was kind of cool to see like this old school... like it, you right. see, and then you're like, oh, okay.
And that's how they got their record contract.
No, I don't think it is.
That's...
So yeah, so that was just a fun reference, and the fact that it's in the song makes it that much more interesting.
That's awesome.
I am glad I actually went through all that that information and watched that, because once he mentions it in the song, you're like, yeah.
That's yes, great. That's awesome.
So that moves us into lyrics.
Lyrics.
What lyrics are you talking about?
Well, what do you swear like? That I've already said this, but I guess not. We talked about it so much. You make me want to eat pork. You make me want to staple bagels to my face, then remove them with a pitchfork. Yeah. I always like that. Just the image of having a big pitchfork taking bagels off his face very gently always made me kind of laugh.
Yeah.
I don't think he's just jamming it into his face. I think he's very gingerly.
Yeah, yeah, gingerly.
Kind of just poking him.
Yeah, yeah. That's
pitchfork's
that's
all I can find.
That's what I what I think, too. Like the staples are the thing that hurts.
Yeah.
The pitchfork is just like
the prying tool. Out the staples with it, maybe.
I'm going to go with the first lyric, the first line.
Okay.
I mean, the first verse, kind of.
First
you don't make me want to slam my head against the wall. You make me want to do the limbo. You want to make me buy Slurpee at the mall. You make me want to watch the Gong Show.
There you go.
You make me watch the Gong. Interesting. It's different.
You make me watch the Gong Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not wanting to watch the Gong Show.
He's
forced
to watch,
to watch the Gong Show. Okay.
So maybe, not so sweet.
No.
Yeah, she ties him up. You're going to watch this.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you didn't have to do it back then. It was popular. Now, the modern version, you might have to be forced to watch, is from what I hear.
I don't even... When did that come out?
Recently. I don't know if it's still in the air.
See, I thought about
with
that.
Mike Myers.
I remember it came out, and then I don't remember it actually coming out.
I don't think it lasted very long. That Mike Myers got panned for this weird, impression character he was doing. He was, he was in character for no real reason. It's some bizarre British guy. I never saw
honestly,
it, but I think
Chuck,
it's gone quick.
Chuck was a little weird, too.
He was.
Just, it,
he's a character, all right.
Off. He was just
I guess
off.
That was the thought, but he's like, I'll do the show, but I'm gonna do it in character. Sure, why not, Mike Myers?
Well, I mean, if you're Mike Myers, you don't want to do anything just boring. So you're I'm gonna make this something for myself.
And it didn't work.
And then it ruined it. Yeah. So
ratings?
Speaking of ruining it. No, ratings. Yeah.
Speaking of ruining it, let's ruin this with our ratings. Man, this is a tough one.
I'm giving it a 3.5.
All right, you go first.
Because I think it's good. I think the music is great. It's spot on. It's very Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
But the lyrics themselves, like we've talked about, don't really have a follow through, don't seem to make sense.
Yeah.
And coming off of things like Dare to Be Stupid, where at least there was a reason for some of the lyrics,
yeah.
these just seem completely, there's no story being
agreed.
Told. you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, I'm comparing it to all the Weird Al songs, but specifically the ones in this genre, like the Brady Bunch, Mr. Popeil, and Dare to Be Stupid, which I think are all better, I think. I was not sure about Mr. Popeil, but I think I'm going to actually put that one as better as this one as well. So I will give this 2.5.
Going
a little low. Like I think, like you said, musically it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've never been a huge fan of Oingo Boingo, and I don't know. Just this is never one of a song I want to listen to again.
I think you could appreciate the music though without being a fan of the genre.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I think that would have made it better for me.
Like a couple weeks ago, you talked about country and you thought that it was an amazing music of country, but you didn't really listen to country music. So.
Yeah. I think because the subject matter, it was funny enough and good enough to make me really like it with along with the music. I think if the lyrics were better. I mean, I know the point of it is it's not supposed to make sense, but this is one of those songs where, like, every now and then I skip it. It's never been, like, one of my favorites. It's musically really good. It's a good, solid style parody, but I just don't think it's one of his best enduring. It doesn't do it for me very much. It's a good song, 2.5.
Maybe we need to do a re-listen at the end of this first set of episodes. Like the first run through the catalog, and then we re-listen and we rate every song, music and lyrics.
Maybe.
Two different.
That'd make it too difficult. Because I think the ratings are the combination of both.
Okay.
That makes the total song. You have to consider both factors.
Yep. Sounds good.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening. We're All Yankovics. You can find us on Instagram, We're All Yankovics. Gmail, We Are All Yankovics. And if you type in We Are All Yankovics in the Facebook, you find our open public group where people just post things about Weird Al and also talk about him. You can also find us
where?
On iTunes, I guess. Rate and review us if you like us. Go give us five stars, make a little review.
There you go.
Say something. It should be a lot of fun. And if you want to context us directly, call us at 302-72-WEIRD. That's 302-72-WEIRD. And leave a message saying whatever you want to say, basically.
Especially you, John Bermuda Schwartz.
Yes.
I'm going to get him to call
us. Back on that again?
Okay. Yes, he's going to call us.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to call
us. He will.
His lawyer will call us.
Or email us someone. As long as we get contacted by his people in some way.
I mean, he has to sign the whatever that is.
The court order?
No,
cease and desist?
The thing where you're like...
Restraining order?
Restraining order, there you go.
We're nowhere near him. He's like on the other side of the country.
Yeah. So. We're assaulting him audially.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like we're sending these clips to him. He'll just find it on his own.
Well, exactly.
Be like, hey, these people are talking about you a lot, John. Maybe you should listen to them and give them a call. Please, John.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
I hope. Okay. That's my goal for this entire podcast.
Maybe Orson knows him. We'll have to talk to Orson.
Why would Orson know him? He's in his 80s.
I don't know.
John's got to be like in his 50s.
Orson's not in his 80s. Orson's in his 80s.
Oh, that's right. He was in his 80s. 80s. Yeah. When John
Remember
came
you
on the
said he was
when
on...
he came on the scene, he was in his 80s.
Okay.
Why would he know John
when
he was in his 80s? Jeez.
I don't know. Okay.
Anywho.
Thanks for listening and we'll see you in another couple days.
Okay, bye-bye. That's what you do to me.